You are listening to World Radio, KHOE 90.5 FM, broadcasting from the campus of Maharshi University of Management, and this is the program What's New on Campus. And today we are happy to have Michael Sternfield as our guest. Welcome, Michael.
Welcome, Stan. Thank you. It's great to be back. It's been a long time since I've been here. I remember when you first started the station.
Yes, that was quite a few years ago, wasn't it? Yes, and Michael's name is not unfamiliar to Fairfielders. He's producer, director, and longtime Ramayana proponent, having produced the well-known Ramayana epic on cassette, and now probably CDs.
Actually, it's on MP3 CDs and digital version for people to download to their iPod, because it was 47 100-minute cassettes. It was like piles of them.
I remember.
It would have been 75 CDs. So we got it compressed 75 hours on one DVD now.
So how did they get it? How's it getting now?
They can go to my website.
On CD.
They can purchase it through the website, RamayanAudio.com.
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 Okay, great. Yeah. That's great. I mean, this is, talk about production, is a great production. And few people have devoted themselves to this epic, the Ramayana, as much as Michael has. And what drew you to the Ramayana, Michael? What was your first experiences with it?
Oh, I have so many good stories on that, Stan. I mean, it's just, that delights me. It's a great question. It was really back in when I did the Vedic science program here at MUM and got my master's. And at the end of our course, Tom Agnes, my professor and really a mentor, we got a message from Maharishi. It was very beautiful, where he asked our class to put write what we wanted to do with this knowledge. And every member of the class wrote one page. We had a standard format, and we sent it to Flow Drop in this beautiful gold-bound book. And I wrote at that time. At that time, Peter Brook, the great English director who was famous for the movie Lord of the Flies and also as the director of the Royal Shakespeare Company, had done that extraordinary version of the Mahabharata, which was getting worldwide acclaim. It was a theater production as well as a video series. And I just thought, this is fantastic. We should do this knowledge with Maharishi's, you know, underpinnings of knowledge. So I wrote in my note that I would like to, I was devoted to, I loved stories. I loved great epic adventures and mythic stories. And I said what I wanted to put my attention on was Itihas, the branch of Vedic literature concerning the great epics, Mahabharata and Ramayana. And this is what I wanted to do with this knowledge that I had learned. And then we heard nothing, or I heard nothing. Several years went by. And, you know, it just kind of went out of my mind. And then in 1993, all of a sudden, Maharishi School called me and Lolly Morris, you may remember Lolly, and said, we would like you to direct a complete production of the Ramayana for the entire Maharishi School. You have to include every student, 400 kids in your production.
Whoa.
And I remember I asked Tom Agnes, I go, what do you think? Well, how did this happen? And he goes, I guess Maharishi read your letter.
That's fantastic. And then I know you did some other productions. We had, I remember out in the countryside, you did a production out there.
Yeah, that was a few years later. I mean, the production in 1993, which was the Coming of Ram Raj, which was one of the first ever events of a theater production in the Dome, which we had with literally 400 kids in this big production. And then I did get involved working with the children, and I created an after-school program called Ram Quest, where I realized the kids, the students there needed a little bit more kind of a earthier, visceral way to approach the knowledge, so it wasn't abstract. So we would create adventures, reenact the adventures of the Ramayana. And what we did was, we decided they were so enthusiastic about this. It was like kids putting on a show. We thought, well, what if we created an outdoor theme park based on the Ramayana, where the people going through it would actually reenact the stories of the Ramayana and learn along the way? And then it turned into from a small thing to a big thing. We got their fathers involved. We got contractors involved. And we designed this whole, like, 50-acre theme park out in Vedic City behind the Raj.
I remember that.
And you entered into the world of the Ramayana. You reenacted the adventures. There was one, the best ride was you were on this harness zip line that went across this deep ravine. And we had a stretch, built this giant sea monster's mouth with a sheet. And the kids grabbed onto the zip line. They were harnessed in so they wouldn't fall. And they had to say, Prakritim Svama Vashtabhya Vishvijami Puna Puna, or curving back on myself, I create again and again. And they had to fly through the air. It was like a couple hundred feet through the sea monster's mouth. And So that was one of the, that was, of course, the big highlight. And then we repeated it again next year. Hundreds of people went through it.
I remember that. I felt like it was back in Iogia, just being out there. All the people dressed in costume. And
Yeah, we had Rakshasas in between the different adventure stations trying to distract the kids, pull them off. But adults went through it, too. I mean, it was this big thing. The whole community was really into it.
Whoa, that sounds really great. Well, you have a production coming up here pretty soon. You'll be teaching a course. Can you tell us a little about it?
Yeah, I continue, by the way, I'll just want to work on the Ramayana is now one thing I'd like to interject, which is just hot off the press, is remember the great video series from India by Ramanand Sagar, the one that came out in the late 80s, that mega series that was like 60 hours long, went for a year and a half on Indian state television. Well, the family, the Sagar family, did a remake of it in 2008-2009. I've connected with the grandsons now who are carrying on Ramanand's work, and I'm working with them now on a film production of the Ramayana oriented towards Western audiences.
Whoa.
So this is a really big project, and it's really wonderful working with Shiv and Shakti Sagar, Ramanand's grandsons.
Will you be going to India for that? Or
I went there. That's how we started the ball rolling about a year ago, and we're still in the development stage. It's quite early in the development stage.
Wow.
Something like that takes a long time, but the idea is to be a trilogy like along the same lines as Lord of the Rings. So anyway, that was an aside. I just wanted to get that one point
in there. Well, stay tuned, folks. I mean, we have something coming our way.
Yeah, that it could take a while, but you know, I have a lifetime to work on that. But that is kind of the basis of, I wanted to bring that up as an example because the nature of this course, the course I'll be teaching through MUM's Continuing Education, which is co-sponsored by the Art Department. Matthew Beaufort was instrumental in encouraging me to do it through the Art Department, to offer this course, is that we wanted to take the angle of the art of the Ramayana and the Ramayana as art, which has a double headline. Because on the one hand, we'll start off the course exploring the Ramayana on the level of consciousness, deeply grounding in Maharishi's perspective on the Ramayana. Tom Egnos will be a guest in the first session coming up this Sunday, October 16th. But then we're going to work from the subtlest level to the most outward level. Then we'll go into the more, the weeks go along, into the expressions of the Ramayana. The Ramayana is so diverse. It's one of the most generative pieces of literature ever written, where in every culture, not just India, but also Thailand, Burma, Indonesia, countries that are Buddhist and Muslim, like Indonesia is a Muslim country, the Ramayana has spread like the branches of a banyan tree, just through cultures and across time, all of these varied expressions in art, like in Thailand, the King's Palace has a mile-long frieze depicting the entire story of the Ramayana wrapped around the palace. In Indonesia, in Bali, for example, they stage these dances called kachak, which is their Hanuman dances, where they become the monkeys and reenact Hanuman's adventures with these chants that go back and forth. It's fantastic. If you ever saw the movie Baraka, it's depicted in there. It's beautiful. So we'll explore just these varied expressions of the Ramayana in art. So from the subtlest of the subtlest to the most outward diverse expressions. That'll be the kind of the overview of the course.
What do you think is attributed to the Ramayana's success in spreading throughout the world like that? That's must be some deep, deep knowledge there that people needed, and that's the way they got it through theater, I guess.
Well, that's a really good question, Stan, and that is my favorite subject, which is Susan Anderson and I had co-taught a course on the Ramayana through the literature department as a regular course. This course is an evening course open to the entire community, the one that we're offering starting on Sunday. And we began to explore universal values of the Ramayana. What's the essence of the Ramayana? How has it lasted over thousands and thousands of years and spread to different cultures? What's the active ingredient that's in the Ramayana? And that's what we'll be exploring in session two of the course, is that I went deep inside Maharishi's knowledge, this is going back to my Vedic science program here, and found that there's an inner mechanics of the way myth is created. Now, I'm going to define my word myth here because some people think of myth as meaning that which is untrue or fanciful or imaginative. When I use the word myth, I'm using it the way Joseph Campbell did, which is the sum total of all the consciousness and deepest values of a culture are embodied in the form of the seminal myths which guide that culture. In that sense, the myth goes to the very beginning. It's the kind of the secret of the origins of a people or a culture or a time. In that sense, I think Maharishi once said, that which lasts longest is closest to the truth.
Mm-hmm.
In that sense, myth is the longest because it was there at the very beginning, and it has a lot of truth. It's embedded with truth. So when I use the word myth in terms of the Ramayana, I both acknowledge that the Ramayana, which many Indians feel important to say that it is historical, it actually happened. At the same time, it seems to have this archetypal value. Maharishi said the Ramayana is happening at every point in creation. So that means it's happening. It happened in the beginning of time. It's happening in these ancient stories. It's actually happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
And another layer of that is Maharaja Nataram has just come out, just announced on Victory Day that he's coming out with his new book, The Ramayana and the Physiology. So that the whole story of the Ramayana is really this cosmic dance of our own physiology. Ram is inside of us. Ravana, the great evil the counterpart of Ram, the king of the demons, is inside us, as well as Sita, Hanuman. So I guess to answer your question more directly, the universal values come, that's, we're going to explore that really deeply. It's quite subtle on how this play of opposites, which is the way myth really works. There's always one strong value, and then it's opposite value. The classic example of that is Arjuna on the battlefield, in suspension because he's stuck between his love for his family. How can he fight against his own family? But yet his dharma says that he must uphold righteousness. In that suspension, that's where the whole Bhagavad Gita begins. And then Krishna gives all this knowledge. In the same way, the Ramayana, both the Mahabharata and Ramayana, is filled with those kind of irreconcilable opposites. And we're forced as the reader or listener or the experiencer to transcend to a deeper level of synthesis that somehow embraces both these seemingly irreconcilable values.
Mm-hmm.
That's the evolutionary power of the Ramayana. That's why it's so universal. And the Ramayana, for example, even Star Wars is based on the Ramayana.
Mm-hmm.
All the themes of the Ramayana, for example, the evil stepmother, where did that first appear in literature? The Ramayana. The exile to the forest, which is in basically every myth, story, tale, and legend, that first appeared in the Ramayana. So these universal archetypes and themes in literature and myths, legends, fairy tales came in the Ramayana first.
So the hero and the heroine and the bad guy, you see them on television and all kinds of drama and everything. It sort of has its beginnings from the Itihas. Is Ramayana, which came first, Bhagavad Gita or Ramayana?
The Ramayana has to have come first. I mean, there's, you know, what modern academics or historians say, that there's some debate, but it's clear that the Ramayana came first because in the Mahabharata, it pays reference to the Ramayana. There's actually a whole section of the Mahabharata, which is actually a retelling of the Ramayana.
Uh-huh.
And Dr. Peter Scharf, who's visiting here now, he's an expert. I think it's called the Paco Ramayana. I'm not pronouncing it quite right, but he's written his doctoral thesis. He's a professor at Brown University.
Yeah.
So, and even Arjuna flew the flag of Hanuman. So obviously the Ramayana happened first. The Ramayana, Valmiki was the great seer who cognized the Ramayana. And that, by historical record, maybe happened 1000 BC, but it was an oral tradition. It probably happened thousands and thousands of years before that.
Well, this sounds like an amazing course. And it starts Sunday, October 16th. And how do people register?
So they can go, all they have to do is go send an email to ramayan@mum.edu, and that's not with an A at the end, ramayan@mum.edu, and then they're given a link to a website and they can register and pay in advance with PayPal. It's very easy. And if for some reason they wait to the last minute, registration is also available at the door, but it'll probably be a long line. And it seems to be, from what I've heard, popular course. People are talking about it.
This is great. And this is ongoing for how long now?
It's actually, you know, pretty easy to do. I mean, some of the courses, the continuing education courses, like Elric Aranander's fantastic course on Vid and the Physiology, was three nights a week. It was a big commitment. Mm. I loved it. This will be just one Sunday a week for 5 weeks. We're going to take a break on the weekend of November 6th, because I'm involved in another production, the one with for this Vedic Visitors Weekend. So it's 5 Sundays starting October 16th and going through November 20th with a break on Sunday, November 6th.
Uh-huh.
There'll be some special guests. Tom Egnos is guesting in the first class. Matthew Beaufort from the art department will join us, I think, in the third or fourth lesson. There may be a few surprises along the way, I guess.
I'm sure there will be if you're involved. This is great. Now, this brings me into this is sort of an aside question, but I can't help it since you're here. I got to ask you, what's it like working for David Lynch when you're working with him? And here's two very creative people, yourself and David. Did you get along pretty well?
First of all, it's an honor even for you to mention my name in the same sentence as David Lynch. I think he's one of the most brilliant people around and one of the most authentic people around.
Yeah.
We worked together, it was over 3.5 years, and especially in the last year, I had to get a really wonderful opportunity to have more direct contact with him. And he's just an amazing person. He's so present with you. I mean, he's so busy and has pulled in so many directions, but when he's with you, he's 100% with you.
Mm-hmm.
And we got along really, really well, and he seemed to really appreciate me, and I just adored working for him.
That's great. Two storytellers together.
Yeah, he's like, wow. He actually has some interest in the Ramayana as well. I don't know if he will ever, get involved, but he's fascinated with the story. It's impossible not to be fascinated with the Ramayana, it seems, because it's the story of our own self. Maharishi called it wholeness on the move. It's Brahman on the stage. That's my favorite quote from Maharishi. Could you imagine that? Brahman, totality, unbounded field of total unity, takes the stage in the form of a grand story. That's the Ramayana. And that is why I've been just endlessly fascinated with it. As a producer, I kind of was done producing. I find most art forms, it's just too surface. But the Ramayana has so many levels and layers of depth. You could spend a lifetime exploring and studying the Ramayana. I've been on it 20 years, and I feel like I'm just scratching the surface.
Very good. Maybe you can just clue us in on a few of the hidden adventures we can expect going through this course. It's the story itself, but is there some deep, in-depth explanation of the storylines or the...
I was thinking today, at the first class, I really have to ask for a show of hands of how many people really know the Ramayana. I have a feeling every hand is going to go up people who are attracted to this course, in which case then I can immediately start moving at depth.
Uh-huh.
But if there's some people that maybe not that familiar with the course, Dennis Ramundi actually the other day made me retell the entire story in 3 minutes, which I have fun, just it's a challenge. So, I love retelling it. Even though I was the director of Volumes 1 and 2 of the Ramayana, which Richard Ross was the voice of Volume 1 of the audio production, who's now Roger Richard Ross, and Stephen White, one of the really great actors in town, was the voice of Volume 2.
Yeah.
Really brought great character work. But I had the chance, after directing the first two volumes, I got to be the voice on Volume 3 and had Scott Smith direct me. And it is probably one of the most fulfilling experiences of my life. I mean, I got a chance to do 150 approximately different character voices and to embody the characters of the Ramayana. It's just a fulfillment of a lifetime for an artist.
You really got to immerse yourself, huh?
Yeah. And during this course, I don't know if I might play some of the tape. It's going to be multimedia. You asked, I have tapes to play. I have some clips from the new Ramayana series, the remake by the Sagar family to play. Mm-hmm. I'm going to show a bunch of different great video clips from the Ramayana in different cultures. We're going to show some fabulous tapes of Maharishi talking about the Ramayana that Tom Egnos will be introducing in the first lesson.
Wow, that's so great. Tom is he's so steeped in Maharishi's knowledge. So when he talks about almost anything, that's what you get out of it.
Yeah. And that's why I invited him to the first class, because he's so anchored in that. And he's the one who, inspired me. It was tape that we'll be playing on the first Sunday is the Itihasa tape, which is an old tape of Maharishi, reveals some beautiful secrets around the Ramayana, and I felt it was appropriate to have Tom come and introduce that since he was the one who turned me on to it.
That's so great. So the title is The Ramayana, I can't read the writing here, Ramayana and Art?
The Art of the Ramayana and the Ramayana as Art.
That sounds like a great, great feature. I would really want to come and see this. So that's October 16th on Sunday, And for five consecutive Sundays?
Yeah, five consecutive Sundays with one break, I think, between the fourth lesson. I don't think we're allowed to talk for prices on the radio, but I can just say it's very reasonable. And there's special rates for MUM faculty and staff and an incredibly special rate for students. So they can take it for like, you know, for this is for full-time MUM students. And they can register at the door because they're going to, you know, be asked to show their ID.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Michael. It's so great to have you come in and talk about it because, you know, when you talk to someone about what they love, it just comes out. I mean, it's just so beautiful. And I'm sure everyone's going to enjoy this course.
Well, you really asked some great questions, Stan. You went right to the essence of the matter, so that's really sets the stage. Right here, we set Brahman on the stage.
That's fantastic. You can carry it anywhere, everywhere you go. Well, thank you, Michael. So we'll see everyone, we hope, at the course. It's starting on Sunday, October 16th. You can register at the door or online. What's the online again?
Ramayan@mum.edu. You send an email, and then you get the link to register online. And by the way, the course starts at an unusual time, 7:50. I wanted to start a little early so we could end a little early because I know people like to go to bed, so we're going to try to finish by 9:15 or 9:20 each night so everyone can get to bed early.
You got me on board. Thank you, Michael.
Okay, thank you, Stan.
Jay Gurudev.